Okay, so welcome everyone to the IOC special meeting that we wanted to just talk to everyone about some of the legislation that's going through that would be of interest to the UN Independent Oversight Committee. We have a new one, new number at 3-1. Is that okay? Well,
is that somebody from one of the units, maybe?
Possibly.
It's Mojave.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Mojave.
Hi.
Okay, so why we wanted to meet tonight, we wanted to go over a few of the bills that are being proposed and ones that relate to Arizona State Hospital. So there are a few. I'm not sure if everyone's had time to read the bill. One is Senate Bill 1716. And, you know, for a long time, we've talked about how it would be really nice if we could get new and improved surveillance systems that would have audio and video, because I think it's really difficult at times to substantiate what's happened with the claims of abuse or retaliation. I think it would be beneficial not only for us, but for the Ash administration. So Barb, you can't hear us? Can everyone else hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, I can too. Does she have herself muted accidentally?
Can try to unmute. Well, oh, Ashley's, yeah, try calling back in. Okay, we'll just go forward. So I think it would be really advantageous, not only for us, but for Ash administration and even the people investigating the incident and accident reports, depending on what committees they go to because of what are the alleged violations. So I think this would be a win-win for all of us. So I'm hoping that that we're able to replace the audio and the video. That was one that we were really interested in. I'm trying to see what other ones. I think in here it has treatment plans. Each inpatient treatment plan shall be administered under supervision of a psychiatrist based on evidence-based treatment, include measurable clinical goals and criteria for the patient to obtain those goals, because we've also heard that people aren't always aware of what they need to do and what exactly is being measured. So that would be great. Reviewed and updated in consultation with the treatment team and the patient's family guardian designated representative as clinically necessary, but at least every 90 days. Because that's another something we've heard also is that the patient's family members or guardians are not always involved in the treatment planning meeting. So that's another suggestion. Let me think what else. Just a lot more about treatment and making sure it's evidence-based, making sure that expressively tell them the criteria. And if there's any criteria to be used by the PSRB in making decisions regarding their conditional release, termination, jurisdiction over the patient. So there's a lot more language and I think clarifying language and changes about that. They also had something under assault reduction and response plan saying that they shall contract with an independent third party to develop, implement, and document an assault reduction and response plan to address sexual assaults. The plan shall have its own goals. So that's a whole series there. More on the psychiatric review board requests, surveillance systems, and appropriations. So they've asked for $500,000 to give to the hospital out of the general funds to help fund the surveillance system, which I think is great. They also have something under staffing plan, to achieve acuity-based staffing with minimal or no use of contracted staff. So trying to make sure that the staff that's there know the patients, that there's less use of temporary contract employees, because they don't always know the patients as well. So I think that would be a good practice. So I think, what do you guys think? I mean, you can go on AZ Ledge and pull up SB 1716 to look, but that was what I gleaned out of this. Any questions?
This is Ashley. I thought they were really good additions. I noted the surveillance system, which was super exciting in my mind. And then I like that it also says within the first 30 days, there's got to be an inpatient treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And then I think it also added to the annual report, the breakdown of patients that are like transferred. Oh. I like that part. The only question I had, I don't know if you know the answer, Lori, is what, so it adds a hospital governing body. So the superintendent, five public members, and then the chair of the IOC would serve on this governing body. What is the governing body going to do? That's not what I wasn't very clear on that.
And that didn't come from our request, but I think that's others in the community questioned that the governing body, I think, of Arizona State Hospital, and I couldn't tell you, all I have heard is that I think it's a majority, but we could look it up. But a lot of the people that are on the governing board of Arizona State Hospital are people that work for either the hospital or the department. And that struck some people in the community as odd, because a lot of times with hospital boards that are overseeing a nonprofit or even for-profit, there are people from the community that sit on those boards, like people from business and banking and all kinds of other industries. It's not unusual to have like the CEO or members of that entity, but it's usually not the majority of the voting members. And the governing board, just like on any other entity, I believe, looks at major decisions regarding the entity that they're monitoring or they're part of, and making sure that they're making good decisions, prioritizing certain things, you know, board stuff. So
that's kind of like diversifying the board
and making sure that members, at least seven, but not more than nine voting members are appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate. Members of the governing board serve at the pleasure of the governor. The governor's body membership includes the following: the director or the director's designee, who serves as the chairperson of the governing board. The director shall attend meetings and governing body whenever possible, shall review and sign all meeting minutes. The superintendent, at least five public members, including a licensed psychiatrist, a licensed psychologist, a person who has experience in hospital or healthcare administration, and a family member of a current or former patient. Let's see what else it says. The chairperson of the IOC, which right now is me, but could be anyone, pursuant to section 4183803, who serves as a non-voting member of the body. The chairperson shall participate in the governing body discussion, advise the governing body on issues that affect patient rights, and report on the work of the independent oversight committee. So really, we're not telling them, I guess it would be input from what we hear into the governing body to say, here's what we're hearing. And they would accept it or not accept it. Except for the director and the superintendent, the voting members of the governing body may not be employed by this state or any entity or program that directly contracts with the state. So again, I think they're trying to take away or replace direct reports to avoid any conflict of interest or stuff like that. Governing body shall operate the state hostel consistent with the state hostel's statutory purpose as prescribed in the section 36202, 36203, and the state hostel's mission and vision. The governing body shall adopt and maintain bylaws that include provisions to ensure that the state hostel reports on its operations in a manner that provides institutional accountability to the public and state government. Except for the director and the superintendent, members of the governing body are eligible to receive compensation in the amount of $200 for each meeting the member attends to up to 12 meetings annually. Whew. I mean, I'm reading it. You know, I'm learning too. So
Lori, I understand you're one of these members, but who are the rest of them? Like, I don't know who the rest of the people are that are.
Not a member. No, they're
But it says the chairman of the IOC. Does that's not you?
Everything I just read was in blue. So those are edits that are they're trying to pass. So what happens is
So it's all new. Okay,
that's all new.
Okay,
changes to the state hospital governing board, and I just read it. Has to do with memberships, appointments, duties, and compensation.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. Sorry, I wasn't sure what was being changed, and because I've not looked at these documents very often, so.
I wasn't, you know, if you ask me, I didn't write it, so I don't know. But I was reading what the changes are, A through E, and the reason we wanted to talk about it is that I think a lot of what we see in the bill are trying to address video and to help with the allegations that we've heard, the claims, so we can either substantiate or not. So I think it's good for both. As far as the governing board, it seems like it would make it more independent of the hospital and not be employees. So I think that's always good. Let's see, anything else?
Hey, Lori, are you able to share your screen?
Yes, I can.
Do you have the bill up? I'm looking at
yes.
it online. Okay, I've got it online with the color.
I mean, it's everything in blue is being added. Everything in red is being struck. So a lot of blue what I saw today. And I was working, so sorry I didn't get to really read and digest. I've just got cliff notes, but this is what I just read you right here.
Yeah, I read it. I just didn't know what was what because I'm not familiar, like I said, with this process. This is the so now I understand, but I did pretty much read the thing in entirety, and I had questions which you've now answered because I was like, I don't know who this governing body is, and it's because it doesn't exist yet.
Well, no, there is a governing body that is. Current, and it's I'd have to, and we could pull it up if someone wants to pull it up and look at the governing body of Arizona State Hospital and see who's on it. I'm sure we could do that. So I read you this. The other thing, the hospital governing body shall submit to the governor, so that's already going on, but a financial and programmatic report on the state hospital for the preceding fiscal year. And they do that because I've pulled those down. In addition to that information that the governing body deems relevant, this report shall include all of the following. So they're asking for a lot more information to be included in that report to the governor. A breakdown of the patients served, including information on the number of patients treated by diagnosis, the length of treatment, the number of patients making significant clinical progress, the state hospital work and results in the service and requirements set forth in all these statutes, the number of patients transferred between civil hospital, forensic hospital, and the Arizona Community Prevention and Treatment Center, the clinical or other reasons for the transfers, the length of time each, let's say, transferred patient remained was expected to remain in the reassigned location. So I think that must be getting at why are there civil patients on the forensic side? What, you know, that's what I think that's getting at. at least reporting it. And there's reasons why. I think the forensic side is much more secure. So I think that sometimes it's for good reason. Admissions by civil commitment include the number of admissions, discharges, the time between the request for admission and the date of admission, the reason any request for civil commitment was denied, and the efforts made to reduce the time between a request for admission and the admission. I know there's a wait list because I have friends that have relatives on that wait list. I know even for our son, he was on a wait list for 10 months before he got in, and multiple applications. Let's see.
I pulled up the governing body for 2014, and what I have for 2020 is just three people. Hang on, I'm locked away to get something. Sorry, I've got laryngitis. It has a... Sorry, I walked away from that screen. This call the governing body. Governing body, we're consisting of the director of the Department of Health Services, an ASH physician, and a community representative. This body is responsible for the overall direction of the hospital.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me that's just the definition of it. I haven't found an actual list.
It certainly would be nice to know how these people, whoever they are, these members end up there, and what the application process is.
I'm looking at meeting minutes from September 25th, 2020, governing body meeting agenda.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if these people are all, but there's a chief executive officer, a chief medical officer, a chief operating officer. Would these be?
Those are all people that work at ASH. So that
all
would
be at work. Okay.
CEO would be Dr. Bowen.
Right.
CMO is now, we have a new person, a new psychiatrist, Dr. Catherine Woods. I think she's from Tucson, but that was my Google search. And she replaced interim psychiatrist CMO Dr. Patel, who was acting as interim since Dr. Dingell retired. So those are all employees.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, that's interesting. So those are the eight people they have as the listed for the governing body.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically the entire governing body are members of ASH, or, you know, people who work for ASH. Is that correct?
I don't think so. I think that they have some one or two community. I don't know, but I think that they do have community members.
Supposed to have community members.
Yeah, I think they do. As I know, for a while, I think Sue Gilbertson was on there, and Sue has My Kid, the nonprofit, and you know, she's familiar as a parent and a strong advocate for people with serious mental illness. I think she was on there for a long time. I don't know if she still is. So they do have some. I think this is trying to get more people, less employees.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Actually,
it just didn't sound like, it didn't sound like there was anybody else except for people who were employed by the state.
They may not have just been present. So I'm pulled up, you know, they have the bylaws from March 2020,
mm-hmm.
and it lists that the criteria for membership is the director of ADHS, the CEO, the CMO, the CFO, a member of the hospital staff, and then a family member, two consumer advocates, a psychiatrist or other mental health professional, and if a service recipient is identified to serve as a member, then, you know, that person can be added.
Yeah, I've heard, but again, I haven't pulled it up, that 80% of the board was members of ASH or somehow related employee, either by ASH or by those entities. So I think this is just trying to right ship it. So You know, again, these are proposals. This is the bill. It'll go before the Senate Health and Human Services. As people that are interested, if, you know, any of us that are citizens can go and sign, can sign up to support this for, and they'll hear arguments for and against why these should pass and why they shouldn't pass. I don't know. I don't know whether there's going to be pushback. Probably, but I don't know. No, it seems like this is asking for a lot more accountability, mm-hmm. a lot more information.
Mm-hmm. Laurie, I had a question on that page under the annual report where you were, where it talks about significant progress.
Mm-hmm.
Is and I just don't know this, and that's why I'm asking, because I think all the suggestions in here seem really positive. But is significant progress something that's specific enough or measurable? Is that typical, you know, to quantify it like that? I think it's on the
it's information. Yeah, it's under information that the governing body deems relevant. Is it under there?
No. So I saw it further up. So it was under State Hospital Annual Report.
Mm-hmm.
I think where you were reading before.
Okay.
Right there.
I'll stop moving it.
Okay. And then you're right in there. There it is. It's line 2. Under annual report. I think it's line 2. It's hard for me to follow it. But.
Yeah. It's hard for me to read all caps.
Yeah. And the end of the sentence is the length of treatment and number of patients making significant clinical progress.
Yeah. And I don't know, since I'm not clinical. I mean, Dee, you're clinical. How would you take that?
Yeah, I saw that, and that's just not specific enough, because you have to give what the definition of clinical progress is. I mean, that's a pretty broad term.
Yeah.
That has to be measurable.
So, I mean, that's something you could ask. Or in your comments, if you go into Arizona Ledge, do you guys know how to go in there and go for or against bills?
I do not. This is the... I do. I mean, I understand what clinical progress is, but that doesn't specify it enough for me as to what they're going to base that off of. I mean, it should be, you know, something written in the notes, but then it should also be something else, because I don't think you can always trust what's written in the notes as being the full story. Anyway, I have an issue with that particular statement, but I do not know how to go in there and do that. I've never even thought about that and didn't even know you could.
I can send you guys, if you want, and that's part of our, but I can tell you, when I help people go through how to sign up, the one catch is the first time you sign up for an account down at the Arizona Legislature, you have to go down there the first time and go to a kiosk. I don't know where it is in Tucson, but here it's at the state capitol. And then you have to put your email, make a password. And from that point on, you can go in and you can look at bills. You can request to speak. You know, you sign in. I'm not signed in right now. You sign in, you request to speak, and then you can be put on a bill to speak.
So, Lori, where is the location in Phoenix, though? Because I do come up there or drive through there from time to time. So
it's at the Capitol, state Capitol, in the House and the Senate building.
Okay.
Right after you go into the security, you could say, where are the kiosks for me to sign up? There's even one, I think, on the Senate side in the lobby. And then they have a whole bunch of them down on that first floor. But so we have about 4 minutes.
Are they letting people in with coronavirus?
Yes, I heard that people are going in there and signing up because you have to sign up for the first time down there. Okay. The second bill.
That is so crazy.
I know. I've asked, I think they really should do something different. Another bill that may be of interest that we've heard about, the PSRB. And the only reason that I looked at that is that we have heard before from people that have gone before the PSRB that they feel like they're not told about their progress, right, or how they're doing, and then they go to the PSRB and then they're surprised, or they're something that we've talked about for a long time is that this misconception that everyone has to go through resolution group, right? They go to the PSRB and they go, well, you can't get your levels because you haven't gone through through resolution. And then they say, well, it's not being offered. So we've gone around that for about, 6 months, saying, if it's not required, please tell the PSRB that it's not required. And if the PSRB needs information, whether it's risk assessments or anything else, that they get those in a timely manner, and it doesn't delay people going before the PSRB and impacting the patients by inhibiting their progress. So again,
hey Lori, what's a timely process? Is that defined?
I haven't read this, so I don't know, but I think if they know, and I'm not an expert at by any means, if they know that a person has to be reviewed, and we'd have to even look to see what the review is, if they're going to go before the PSRB, let's say once a year, I don't even know what that time is. I would think that's enough time to get your act together, right? All the notes, all the required documentation, all the information, and get it sent over to the PSRB in a reasonable amount of time. Now in here it says the reason, you know, the PSRB has to make sure that they make recommendations that are, you know, that support the patient, but also make sure that the community remains safe. So they need to make sure that before they recommend certain levels, that they really believe that the patient's making progress, that they're stable, and that they're not a risk to society. So I think having more accountability in the PSRB, and I haven't read all of this, I think that, Ashley, do you have any comments on the PSRB? Because I think you've read it.
Yeah, I read it. I mean, I think there's some positive reform of the PSRB in 1029. There's some, it like gives some actual procedures and timelines instead of kind of let's like make it up as we go. So they add some procedural requirements and some reporting requirements. I read it quickly. I think overall it seems positive. There's some good changes. I don't think any bill is going to be perfect. So, was there another one? Was there 1030 that was put forward?
1030.
Okay, that one.
Yeah.
To get rid of the PSRB altogether.
SB 1030. Oops.
If they got rid of the PSRB altogether, who would be in charge?
I don't know. I haven't read 1030 yet. I was just kind of glancing through when I was reading 1029. Do you know when these are being introduced?
I think I'd have to go look and see on the site, but if you go to AZ Ledge, start over, and you can always do a bill search. And then it will tell you where the bill is. You can read the documents. So if you go to the AZ Legislature, here's a request to speak. Here's the bill search up here. And
1029 House?
I'd have to look.
You said it was 1030, right?
1030 is the guilty acceptance thing, court jurisdiction. So this is
right.
Must be moving or asking, and it's going to go up tomorrow to the Judicial Committee.
So I think 1030, yeah. I'm kind of looking at it, it would send people back to the Superior Court, like how it used to be with, now we only have guilty acceptance saying, but not guilty by reason of insanity when that law changed. I think that's how it used to be. But I'd have to do a little more research on it.
So it looks like in here, they're removing the PSRB and going back to Superior Court. Superior Courts, I think they're the ones that sentence you, right, to
yes.
the forensic side? So
yes, maybe they do.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe they would be better suited to monitor your progress, too. I don't know. But it looks like, you're right. This is kind of a request to replace the PSRB with the jurisdiction of the Superior Court.
So that then completely alters where the guilty acceptance saying patients end up under their jurisdiction, then they're no longer under ADHS completely. They somehow cross over into, you see, I'm confused as to where they lie. Are they under DOC or are they under ADHS? Because it seems like some of the patients are treated, you know, as though they're under ADHS, yet there's some misunderstanding or conception that they're still under DOC. And if they go back to Superior Court, it seems like they kind of go back that direction to the DOC and aren't really under ADHS anymore. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I'm not an expert, but we can see if anyone else knows. So I don't think that that's right. As far as these bills, if you have questions or you want, you can always ask for clarification because they're waiting for I think they can always be amended, and they're amended before they're heard in various committees. And I think, so for this one, we could ask for clarification because I am just not familiar with the forensic side and how patients get put in there. I mean, Ashley's probably more aware than I am.
Yeah, and I mean, my experience is limited because the last 5 years, Maricopa County hasn't really offered GEI pleas. It was more of an outer county thing that was offering any sort of GEI plea. So otherwise you're left with a GEI trial, and whether you can get a bench trial or a jury trial is up in the air. So I really have limited, really only one experience in my professional career, at least. And so I'm just not sure. You know, I think I want to read through 1030 more because I haven't read it yet. I read 1029. I saw 1030 and I haven't had time to digest it yet to even know if this would be a good thing or not. But I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that if you want to read through it and you can send notes, remember, we can't communicate and we can communicate, but we can't make decisions. So I just wanted to bring these bills up for those that wanted to learn about them. And if you want to follow them, you can sign up to be notified on certain bills so you'll see when they're going to come before committee. You can go in there, and if you don't want to speak but you just want to put your comment, you can say I'm for this and type in your comments, or I'm against this and type in your comments if you're passionate about it or have interaction as a community member, as an advocate, you can ask to speak also. But that's what's going on. So the Arizona State Hospital bill, the PSRB bill, and the governing board and some other state accountability. So any questions? If not,
I just have one more thing. I'm reading the proposed 133992 about the commitment hearing, and I think this might answer one of the questions. It seems like if the court finds the person still has a mental disorder and may present a threat or danger, has a grave, persistent, or acute disability or propensity to reoffend, the court shall order the county attorney to institute civil commitment proceedings. And then it says if the court finds that the person's act caused death or serious physical injury, the court shall retain jurisdiction over the person for the commitment term. The court shall see the beginning date, length, and ending date of the commitment term and the court's jurisdiction over the person. That's not very clear. And then it, this is all in, if anyone's interested and looks up Senate Bill 1030, it's under 133992. So I think I don't see any. I'm gonna do like a control find really quick to see if it says anywhere Department of Corrections, Department of.
Actually, it does not. It's only way somebody gets sent back to the Arizona Department of Corrections and how they get involved is if the PSRB and decides that they need to go back there because they're at a high risk of propensity to reoffend or still dangerous. So,
right. Yeah. Holly sent.
I'm pretty well versed on on the statutes. I've read them a number of times, and they're very frustrating because I don't think they're specific enough. And so I was hoping that when you brought this up, there would be some more information there that would be helpful. But thank you for bringing them up, Ashley.
Yeah. Oh no, I thought your question was. I thought you had just asked like, what happens? They go back to the court and then go to DOC. But my question is
that even though they're supposed to be not under DOC, it seems like it somehow crosses over. I keep hearing over and over again from other attorneys and other people that, well, they're still under the DOC. And I was like, well, I don't think they are. This is an argument for another time though. So it was just a question. And there are some issues, I think, with people who are released from the hospital who are still being their information of, you know, the felonies or the non-felonies, I don't know how you want to put them, that sent them to the state hospital because they're not supposed to be listed as felonies, are still showing up as that. And when they go out to try to get a job or do something else. So there is some crossover that's not clear, but like I said, that's another argument. Sorry.
Since we're running over and we'll be together soon again, but I just want to get this out so you guys would be aware of it. And if you know, if anyone's passionate, I want to make sure that I'll probably vote to support several of the bills and put my comments in, but it's up to you. We're not voting really as an IOC, but some of the things that we've talked about for the last year or two seem to be getting at least an attempt to address it. So any more comments before we open it up for a brief public comment, because this is an open meeting for open meeting law. Okay, so do we want to adjourn and then open it up for public comment? Or wait, public comment, sorry about that. It's been a long day for me. Do we have anyone that would like to make a public comment?
Hi, Laurie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's Holly Giesel. Both of the ASH bills are still being looked at for amendment before they go to the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, which is not until next week. What I can tell you is that the attempts to work with the PSRB for people who've been involved in some of the stakeholder group meetings over the past year PSRB, Dr. Clark, did not attend the last stakeholder meeting. He's circulating a quote-unquote confidential memo to oppose any change in the PSRB. He believes that it functions almost perfectly, that it is much improved since the audit, that they are fair, that they honor due process rights, and that this is a massive overreaching by people to make changes where changes are not needed. And so it's been very frustrating because we've tried to accommodate in all the sessions where people were talking all of the PSRB's concerns. And then Dr. Clark stopped coming. He didn't attend the last one, even though hours had been spent on it trying to include his confidential memo. I don't know how the PSRB does a confidential memo since they're a public body, but they did. Anyway, every effort has been made to address all those concerns. And they're still, I was still giving input today on how to try to find compromises and include more of theirs. I believe that the proposes, and Tammy Ray, who's a public defender here in town, worked on it. Josephine Jones, who was a prosecutor, worked on it last year. She's now the public fiduciary. Dr. Donna Robinson, who's a psychologist. Number of other, people in the criminal justice system and behavioral health system. And the goal in the PSRB and the ASH bill was to have ASH provide the information that the PSRB needs early and timely, like risk assessments and reports, and get the reports there 30 to 45 days in advance of a hearing, not 10 days or 14 days. Getting a report, those of you who are mothers, I know, it does you no good to get a report from ASH 10 days before a hearing, because if you get it, you don't have time to hire an expert, to get another risk assessment done, to get a report done, and get it to the PSRB. That was at the heart of an appeal that I took from a denial of conditional release privileges at ASH, and it took the Superior Court judge, Judge Gerlach, a week to say, no, that's not enough time. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. You got to have more, and you made them give us a month. So all of these efforts were to make the hospital's work and the PSRB's work mesh, so that the PSRB always has a risk assessment, always has a thorough report so that it's got the information it needs. And then on the ASH bill, it was to require ASH to either, and the PSRB, to either follow the PSRB order. Now ASH just won't implement it sometimes if it doesn't agree with it, which leaves the patient in total limbo. Requires ASH to either implement the order or request a hearing under another part of the statute and say why they won't. So the whole goal here was to, and also then in the ASH bill, to help get better reporting, more transparency, and better information to help with the PSRB patients in particular get a well-understood progression in their treatment plans so that it meshes with the criteria the PSRB uses. Because now they don't. And it's just, and some of you have experienced that, for better and for worse, I guess. And then ultimately, because the PSRB did not want to take any changes, no changes are necessary. We are doing a great job. We have such tough jobs, and we're doing a great job. You know, it's a very low, they only have 100, and for the past 5 years, they've only had 119 people under their jurisdiction. They don't only have about, in terms of statutory hearings, they do 5 or 6 a month. They are one of the lowest volume agencies ever. And yet, if you've been there, it's chaos. And so if the PSRB is unwilling to accept any suggestions and unwilling to move for reform, then a lot of the attorneys involved in these said we'd be better off sending it back to the Superior Court. And 80-85% of the cases are Maricopa, Pima, and Yavapai. The office, administrative office of the courts, didn't think that was a problem. And then they still are committed to the Arizona State Hospital, okay? Under, the only thing that changes is that they're going to be under the jurisdiction of Superior Court. But the commitment is still to the Arizona State Hospital. So they're not, and that's important. But I think in terms, you know, the PSRB, actually, this may be surprising. Dr. Clark does not think that ASH, a provider at ASH, should have to sign an order that they don't agree with, that the PSRB issues, because they're independent licensed professionals, they're MDs, they're medical deities, right? And if they don't want to, if they don't agree with an order, they shouldn't have to comply with it. So that begs the question, why do we have the PSRB, right? Mm-hmm. And Dr. Clark won't issue subpoenas. They won't require ASH witnesses to be there. So at the end of the day, if they don't want any improvements, if they think they're perfect, I think the rights of patients and the mental health of patients is going to be better served by sending it back to a Superior Court judge who, if he issues an order or she issues an order and ASH doesn't follow it, will issue an order to show cause. So I think if you have a board that believes it's above the law, doesn't have to hold ASH accountable, and just wants to have meetings and talk about patients, and then, you know, it's remarkable when you see how little activity they actually have sometimes in a year. I think it would be better. Tammy and I we both thought it's going to be better going back to Superior Court, where you'll have lawyers involved and you'll have rules of procedure. And the judges will hold ASH accountable more than the PSRB ever will. So hopefully we can have a reform bill for the PSRB, but if not, you know, you can lead a horse to water, they won't drink. But if somebody doesn't want to do it in a way that is inclusive and transparent and honors due process and really focuses on helping people make clinical progress, get better, get their privileges, get back in the community, we can't do anything about that. We just have to get rid of it.
Well, thank you, Holly, for the explanation. Anyone else?
I'm happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk about it. I'm sure Tammy Ray will as well. She's really well versed on this. Ashley, I'm sure you know her. But I'm happy to also just give me a call if you want to talk about it.
Well, thank you. Do we have anyone else that wants to make any public comment and then we can wrap up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Jimmy McMullen. I'm on Mojave Unit, and I just wanted to voice my concerns relating to the bill that they're looking to put in process or is in process. I just want everyone listening to know that there is atmosphere in these units to where we don't have accessibility information, what they report. Like I've heard during this meeting, is where when someone was saying that a patient went to a PSRB and did not understand what they were saying because they had information contrary to the patient and his process in progress. And it just makes me feel it makes it, I notice a lot of patients here, we're like a team because we have to be. We have no resolve when it comes to our input or our defense to anything that they choose to report, or it's almost like it's like favoritism, you know, basically, because what's the difference? There's no us independent patients to the point of what, besides the basic references on these papers that are given to the PSRB and our treatment plans. So they change everything according to how they want. We have no say. I'm going to be honest with you. I go into treatment teams every time and there's like, it's like a plot. They're telling me what my treatment goals are going to be if changed, medications as well. There's no discretion. There's no talking to us. They just tell us what's going to happen. They tell us the information at surprise all the time, and we might as well wait for a PSRB to tell us the same thing, because there's no procedure here. There's no voice for us.
Well, I think that these are some of the reasons why we're trying to address it. We can't address, or I can't comment on what you just said, but we've heard you, and thank you. Do we have anyone else that wants to make a comment before we adjourn?
Thank you.
Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
So adjourned, and I will send you guys out step by step on how to sign up for AZ Ledge. But thank you.
Thanks, Glory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.